Hi, this is Ziggy Berkeley, and you are listening to yet another awesome podcast on the Four Eyed Radio Network. And hey, when you're done here, if you like James Bond 007, why not check out my podcast, Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, with new episodes dropping every other Monday on The Fern. And if you're really into James Bond, you can enter the Dial a Henchman contest. Want to know more? Go to hermajestiespod.com/contest, and you could win something from the James Bond 007 universe. Meanwhile, enjoy the show.
Hey there, Eric here from Socially Awkward Studios, and this Four-Eyed Radio presentation is being proudly brought to you by Raven Designs, illustration and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit ravencruise.com.
Today on Ranger Command Power Hour.
AP is here.
Hi, AP.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Quiet again. So do whatever it is you don't do. And see if it fixes it.
Oh, my God.
Is it working again?
It's getting better.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. That's because I'm real close to the mic now.
Okay.
Maybe that was the problem.
I don't know what I'm doing, but it's suddenly better.
Yeah.
The cat's recording the podcast for him now.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, the cat-themed Rangers.
Good luck.
Well, it's going to be insanity. My friend has already said, yeah, we're going to take you to this place, and my brother wants you to take you to this place. Oh, and we're going to go take you drinking. And I was like, okay, so what's crazy about drinking? They're like, yeah, you're getting this stuff called habu sake. And habu sake is sake that has a snake in the bottle.
What?
Yeah, and like I guess the something about the snake alters the alcohol to make it kind of like super strong.
What?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
It's legal over there. Yeah. It's named after the habu snake, which belongs to the pit viper family.
Awesome.
Jesus. That's close.
You're going to be drinking pit viper liquor.
Pretty much. A bite from a habu snake can cause nausea, vomiting, hypotension, and possibly death.
Oh. Enjoy that beer.
Yeah. I'm going to get super, super mega drunk.
Oh. Super mega drunk. I like AP. I like your groans of indifference. Because that has happened before on this podcast. We're just like, I catch those sometimes when I'm adding the episode. I just crack up. It's just like,
are you inserting them in random places in the episode just for funsies?
I could.
I'll just record a whole bunch of groans of indifference, like, and you can insert them in random places in the episode.
How in the world is Robo Knight beating the Phantom Ranger?
Because Robo Knight is cooler.
What?
No.
His suit is cooler. Let's just have an indifferent groan off. Better be putting this in the last time one.
Yes, I will be.
Let's just have a grown off. Hey, now you just sound like a really rusty door.
Hey guys, how do you feel about Morph of Madness?
How do you know I'm not a toddler with a microphone?
Are you like one of those E-Trade babies?
Yes, I'm one of those E-Trade babies who goes to London and drinks every single night.
Dude, you're an awesome baby.
It was weird.
Glad you got it fixed.
Yeah, me too. It's okay. Like you guys had some conspiracy against me. You didn't want me part of this one, so.
No, not at all.
No comment.
Hey.
Done, done, done. As she laughs maniacally. And then Groan of Indifference. That's what you missed, Chris.
Groan of Indifference. That is like the subtitle to this episode.
At least there was no awkward silence.
Not yet.
No, not yet.
That's later.
AP, why are there two of you here?
What? I do not see two of her. That is your messed up computer.
What the heck?
There's two of me?
Did you use a like a Ninja Storm technique?
Yeah, I was gonna say this is a classic trope. We got the twin action going on.
All right, it's gone now. I don't know what it was, but I clicked on it and it went away. So
it's the ghost of AP past.
Apparently, that's all you got to do is get rid of AP. Is just click on her.
What?
Oh my god!
Oh, and on that note.
All right.
Yeah, putty.
No. Synchronization clap in 3, 2, 1. All right.
Ow.
You don't need to do it that hard.
Did you slap your face or you?
What just happened?
I don't know.
She sounded like.
Everyone clapped and then it was like, ah!
I think I clapped too hard.
I don't have insurance on this podcast. Don't injure yourself.
Hey, it's the Ranger Command Power Hour.
Today on the Power Hour, Episode 5, Ranger Surprise, recorded on March 18th. 2014. Welcome to the Ranger Command Power Hour on the Four-Eyed Radio Network. It's time to ranger up with your hosts. I'm Eric, also known as TrekkieB47.
I'm AP, also known as Secret Ranger Fan.
And I'm Zach, also known as the Cinema Slob.
This episode is brought to you by America Joy Print Shop, official sponsor of the Four-Eyed Radio Network. For high-quality business cards, flyers, banners, cut vinyl, and more, visit AmericaJoy.com.
Welcome back to the Ranger Command Power Hour. We have a special guest co-host. You know him as Chris, a.k.a. Mr. Yellow.
Guess who's back?
Welcome back.
Okay, so we've got a lot to cover in today's episode, so let's quickly go through the news. First off, a couple Sundays ago, I recorded an episode of Talkin' Toku at the Nation, episode 6 from the guys at Toku Nation. They are editing it, and it should be out fairly soon, if not by the time everyone's listening to this. So check it out. We had a lot of fun talking about Tokusatsu, Gaim, and Tokuger, and also Power Rangers Alliance. So that was the one we talked about. It's pretty cool.
Twice
the berry. Everyone's getting a double dose of berry, which sounds stupid.
Crazy.
All right, yeah. Next, Morphing Madness launched on March 10th. Round 2 is currently live and will be ending soon by the time people listen to this podcast. And Round 3 is on March 24th. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in this episode. Next, this past weekend, Lexington Comic Con was a success for those who attended. Heard a lot of great things, and people may have seen our retweets on Twitter through the Ranger Command PH Twitter account. We retweeted a bunch of people's experiences and videos and pictures. I was at Lexington last year, and this year seemed a whole lot larger. Way more guests, a lot of Power Rangers guests, and Amy Jo Johnson's first convention experience.
That kind of looks like a lot of fun, and if it continues the upward trend of growing like it has, I may have to look into going to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think I heard from a couple people that it seemed like they've already outgrew that whole convention center.
Wow.
Which is massive because they pretty much took over that convention center this year from what I've seen of the pictures. Maybe twice, three times as big as it was last year. And people were saying there was like no room, hardly any room to move during some of the peak times. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. Unfortunately, I couldn't go this year, but it sounds like a lot of people had a great time. So that's definitely one to check out. It's almost like a Midwest Power Morphicon.
That's... Yeah, it's still too far for me to go, unfortunately.
Speaking of conventions, we got a couple other convention news items. This is pretty exciting. Austin St. John will have his first convention appearance in over 7 years. He was at the first Power Morphicon.
Yes, but he was.
He's back in an official capacity as a guest of Florida's Supercon, which is July 3rd through 6th, 4th of July weekend, and a day after my birthday, and it's like, I'm saving for Power Morphicon, I can't go.
Yeah.
But who knows, this might lead to a Power Morphicon appearance. Morphicon did tweet out that they weren't having a guest announcement this week because they're planning for a bigger announcement later this week.
Yeah, I think that's pretty...
And they said it was a mighty update.
Yeah, so. And they showed the logo for Mighty Morphin, so it's like, it'd be nice to see if they get him back. Okay. This is my favorite story ever. I laughed audibly when I first read this story.
So, right after Florida Supercon announced that Austin St. John was going, JDF, Jason David Frank, canceled his Supercon appearance.
Such weird timing.
Yeah, very weird.
Oh, God.
And there was kind of a back and forth on their Facebook, because after JDF canceled, I guess Supercon made a post that said that, oh, you know, we had a contractual agreement, this and that, and he can't make it. And then JDF saying, well, I promised my daughter. And it's all this, like, weird drama. I've heard JDF for years joke about this rivalry that him and Austin St. John apparently had. And, God, I remember that going all the way back to Anime Central 2008 when JDF was there, talking about, like, this supposed rivalry between them, but kind of doing it in, like, a tongue-in-cheek. And even through his other interviews, he's always like, oh, yeah, well, I can take him on, and maybe we should fight, and ha-ha. And then when it finally happens that he's going to be at the same convention with Austin St. John, what does he do? Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
Sorry, gotta go.
I don't know. There's some story there. You know, who knows? And when he canceled, that makes me think that there's actual truth to his stories. Maybe they did have some bad blood between them on set.
All I can think of is that betrayed, you know, from MMPR 2010 when Tommy betrayed. That's all I can think of.
You mean that graphic where it's like, betrayed?
Yeah. All I can think of.
So now we get to our main topic, which is Ranger Surprise. We're going to do a episode discussion on Samurai Surprise and the fandom's explosive reaction to the inclusion of Sentai Rangers, more Sentai Rangers.
It was explosive like something else I know of.
Okay.
Use your imagination.
But first, before we get into the whole Sentai suit thing, let's just talk about the episode as a whole. Pretty much the plot of the episode was, basically, it was the Samurai tribute episode. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. We had cameos from Mentor G and Jaden. They lent the power disc and the ability to transform the Wild Force Legendary Megazord into the Samurai Legendary Megazord. We had Prince Vikar basically coming down to Earth and leading an attack force. And by leading, I mean horribly. But we get mention of his father, the emperor, and then the monster for this week, or the general, was one of the elite guards of the emperor. So they're starting to set up that whole thing. Mm-hmm. We get our first Mighty Morphin Power Rangers transformation, and this is the second episode written by Jason Smith, the Red Jungle Fury Ranger Casey. Overall, what do you guys think of the episode?
You know, I liked it. I thought it was all right. Obviously, the use of the Sentai footage was what it was. They actually had Prince Vikar come down, and, you know, I liked that the Rangers were trying to be, you know, sassy with him, as you said earlier. And it was interesting to see that, and I think some of them pull it off really well, and then others are not so much.
I gotta be honest. If you saw my tweets a couple of weeks ago, I was like ready to rage quit because I was just so upset at Noah's episode there. I can't remember the name of it, but I was just so upset about it, and I just...
You mean Blue Saber Saga?
Yeah, Blue Saber Saga thingy. But anyway, I don't understand why I was so upset, but because of the continuity and all that stuff. But okay, well, this time, they're not even trying. So at this point, it's best to just kind of let it fly, you know? There must have been some rewrites or something, because that's nothing from what like Fury Diamond said at the beginning. All his sources said that there should be no pre-Jews, no Die Ranger, no any of that. Mm-hmm. So I really think at this point it's best to just kind of sit back and laugh at it and just enjoy it and just live and let Die Ranger.
Oh no.
I'm just along for the ride.
That's where we insert the groan of indifference.
AP, your thoughts on the episode?
I really enjoyed it. I still don't know what to think about the whole Sentai Ranger thing. But other than that, it was actually really, like, really enjoyable. I loved the sassy ranger part. That was my favorite.
Oh, I really like Jake's line when he was fighting off against the general in his Megaforce suit.
Yeah, the line where he's
like, oh, well, has he ever? Like, has he ever done anything?
Yeah.
He's not fit to fight. Yeah. Was he ever?
Yeah. Oh, I was like, oh, snap, you better put some ice on that burn.
That was a sick burn. I actually remember audibly giggling.
I literally laughed out loud.
And I haven't done that in a Power Rangers episode in I don't know how long. Maybe since I was little.
I really hope that line, because Jason Smith wrote this episode, if those are the kind of lines that he can include in this show, bring him back more.
Exactly. I gotta say,
my favorite line is super mega hurry up.
Oh, I was dying at that. I was completely dying.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, Prince really? Vicar, Prince Vicar, after they did their morph, Prince Vicar was like, super mega, get them already.
Wow.
It was great because it was right after they did their roll call. So they're like, super mega red, super mega pink. Oh, and then he's like, super mega, hurry up and destroy them.
That's hilarious. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
That was probably one of my favorite lines of the episode. I really liked it. We got a ton of original footage. We got the Megaforce suits fighting against the X-Borgs. We got an unmorphed fight in there too. There was a lot going on with this episode.
And it looked
really good.
We got original Mighty Morphin footage too.
We did?
Did we? That was all Gokaiger.
Someone had a screen cap of it on, what was it? Twitter. Someone posted a screen cap and you can see Power Ranger on their buckles.
Oh, no kidding.
What Power Ranger was it?
I don't remember.
Oh, you know what it was? It was when they were transforming into Lost Galaxy, because that didn't happen in Gokaiger. There was a Sentai after that they transformed into.
Dynaman.
Yeah, they cut Dynaman out and then had them flip the Lost Galaxy keys with the Mighty Morphin suits.
See, that brings up another point that I'm confused about.
Let's get into it right now. The big elephant in the room are the Sentai suits. Mm-hmm, in this episode, we had Flashman, which was the Pink Ranger, Maskman, the Yellow Ranger, and then Troy used the new powers, or Die Ranger Red. We finally get more new powers, I guess, and completely... Not explain. Yeah, Blitz. Yeah. Like, oh, legendary Blitz. And I was like,
that's,
okay.
No, that's not what that was.
Somebody's going to make her say that at Morphicon.
But
I do like one of the videos that was produced over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Blitzing New Powers.
Yeah, I saw that.
Shout out to DR on that one, I gotta say.
Yeah, that was Dan's Toku Rants, and... I like their original video with the new powers. They're new.
Powers that are new.
Those videos are absolutely hysterical. And you know what? It's for me, I know a lot of people are just like, oh, well, I don't like the use of the Sentai at all, period, end of story. I don't mind. I just wish we'd had some sort of, even just an offhanded remark quickly of, oh, this is a such and such a team from this planet.
Troll but, say.
True. Yeah.
Hashtag troll sign.
I read a comment somewhere. I forget where. It might have been Twitter. It might have been like Ranger Board, where someone was like, "Well, we still have Orion, the Silver Ranger, coming in. Maybe when he comes in, he'll act like Guy did and explain. Oh, those powers. Those are this team. Those powers. That's that team.
And that's like,
Noah's already kind of doing that though.
Well, yeah, he's doing that for the Earth-based teams.
Right, and that's the thing. Orion is supposedly an alien.
Exactly.
So it makes sense if he was the one to explain the alien Rangers, but at the same time, are we giving the show too much credit?
Probably.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, probably.
You know, unless Jason Smith is writing the episode where Orion, and I don't think he is, he's only doing 4 episodes. Mm. But if his line was the one that Emma said when she was Flashman, bet you didn't expect it, or bet you weren't expecting this, as she was transformed into that Ranger, right, was pure gold.
Can't wait to see the video on that one. Powers you didn't see coming.
Yeah, you know what? I personally didn't mind it. I thought it is what it is. We're getting new powers. Gosei, even though it's a throwaway line, he already explained it. These are powers that have never been seen on Earth before.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of accepting that for what it is. These are alien powers that they're accessing.
Exactly.
I know a lot of people, and I got into huge argument on Twitter over this. Some fans, I think, need to be spoon-fed everything. Mm-hmm. I would love if they said, oh yeah, these are Magna Defenders guys from Edenoi or something, you know, like anything like that. If they were to do that,
the Eltarian Rangers.
Yeah, Eltarian or something.
Yeah.
The inner geek in me would explode. But at the same time, I don't know. It's like a Star Trek thing to me. They don't explain everything in Star Trek, and they leave it up to the fans to dig through the clues and all that stuff. And, you know, some people say that it's not the fans' job to do their work for them. But at the same time, it's this big Power Rangers universe. Power Rangers have been into space and into another galaxy and have traveled across time. And it's this huge... Okay, one thing I like to bring up is the Power Rangers timeline. How many things in Power Rangers happened 10,000 years ago? Yeah. There are so many things that happened 10,000 years ago.
Rita, Daishi.
Yeah, the Power Rangers continuity is all over the place, and it's a big universe. I'm not really bothered by 10 seconds of them showing up as a new power that they don't name. The geek in me would love it if they did name them and gave them names. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you say. It would be nice to have those. Now, will we? Probably not, which is unfortunate, but it's just that little extra step that either they don't feel that they have to do or maybe that they can't do for whatever reasons.
Someone did bring up a good point, which if they named these teams, they would have to file copyrights for those names.
That's true. Right?
They would have to file all new copyrights and go through whatever legal thing that they would have to do with the Toei and the past Sentai teams.
But they'd have to release them before the fans could find them, so...
Exactly. Like, yeah, they'd have to do all that.
Yeah.
So some people, or one person that I saw brought up that good point on Twitter, which was, you know, maybe this is a copyright thing. Maybe they don't want to name them so they don't have to deal with all the copyright stuff.
Yeah.
That's valid.
What I was thinking, though, is that maybe they're not allowed to name them because if you, like, Paper Cuts that does the comic or the comic readers now, they weren't even allowed to give the Samurai Rangers last names or do anything, write anything in that wasn't previously approved by Saban. So I know that doesn't make sense with the writers of the show, but if they were rewrites, then who knows?
Yeah, and that's another thing. Like, the whole rewrites, and they brought people in to do rewrites on the early episodes. But how far does that extend? Did they already film some stuff and had to rewrite it? Or did they just rewrite it from the beginning? And why would rewrites constitute an editing issue?
I was going to say, as far as I know, it was only the first couple of episodes that some of the lead writers were on, and then they all got replaced by some of the early samurai people, and That could be where all of our little mistakes are coming in. Oh, no, this footage doesn't work quite well. We can use this better, or so on and so forth.
Right. And it's not just a matter of editing, I don't think, because there was another fan who edited out the Sentai teams, kind of like saying, look how easy it is, Saban. Well, right. If it's that easy, they probably would have done it themselves. So I'm thinking there might even be a reason that these Sentai suits are in there, maybe for a story, and maybe I'm giving them too much credit. But I'm thinking that it can't be coincidental. It can't just be a mistake.
That's what I'm thinking. Because, I mean, it's too obvious for it to be a mistake.
Yeah. I wanted to bring up this point. I think there's a precedence in past episodes. A lot of people have been cycling around a picture that was cycled way before when this episode first aired in Dino Thunder. In Bully for Ethan, I guess Tommy and Kira are going through Tommy's files on past Ranger teams and stuff. And Tommy's files have symbols for Sentai teams, including the ones we saw in this episode. He has Goggle 5, Change Man, Flash Man, Mass Man, Live Man, Five Man, and Die Ranger. So all those logos are seen in that episode, and coincidentally, the Sentai teams that we've seen in Blue Saber Saga and Samurai Surprise just happen to be those Rangers from his files. So are they doing that intentionally, or is it just a happy coincidence?
If that's the case, though, I believe that Green Sai from Live Man was one of the Gokai changes in that same episode of Gokaiger, so why did they cut him out, I wonder then?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm not sure. And then why would they do the Mighty Morphin to Lost Galaxy change? And that's what leads me to believe that there's some purpose behind this. Because they're able to cut out one Sentai team and refilm the Mighty Morphin pulling out the Lost Galaxy keys, but then they leave in these other teams. So I'm thinking there's something more to this that we just don't know yet.
I like the idea of the world of Power Rangers is larger than we know it as an audience.
Yeah.
The idea that these teams either have existed in the past or exist on other worlds or even exist concurrently with the current teams that we're watching. We just don't know because we're not privy to that information.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Power Rangers has either been always on Earth or on Terra Venture following Lost Galaxy or the Megaship. And it's where the series takes place, but primarily it's been on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea, other than what we've seen in the early Saban era, of the bigger galaxy. You know, Divatox, hell, she was a space pirate. There's other aliens out there. Pretty much every single monster in Power Rangers has been labeled an evil space alien.
I would love the idea of, okay, so Mighty Morphin Power Rangers happens. That's the first time we as an audience are introduced to Power Rangers as a concept. I would love to see the military, obviously, would see these huge battles going on between these superheroes and these monsters. I would love for a season to be something akin to, oh, the government created, let's say, the
Speed Rescue.
I was just going to say that.
I'm saying before that, running concurrently with second season of Power Rangers, was a government team that could have been Flash Man or Mask Man or Live Man, what have you.
Right.
Like the idea of, hey, they're doing, you know, these are these weird superheroes. I wonder if we could create something like that. And that could have been the basis for a Lightspeed Rescue, for a Time Force, you know, for a SPD, what have you.
That could be it too, because Flash Man, those suits are very technical looking. They're mm-hmm. very tech driven. And who knows? That's what I love about this fandom, because we can create so many different side stories and theories, and people are going to be talking about this for the next 20 years if they don't explain it in the show.
Easily.
It's going to be one of those things.
It's come down to a point where the audience, because of the fact that we don't have all the answers, we have to fill in the answers for ourselves. And there are some people who can do that easily, like us. And then there are some people who go, well, I don't understand why. I want, like you said, I want every answer handed to me on a silver platter. I don't want to imagine for myself.
Right.
They can't be a fan of Mighty Morphin then, because my God.
I mean, come on. In Mighty Morphin, we had the power eggs that were mentioned once. What the hell are those?
The Morphin Masters.
The Morphin Masters. Who are they? There's so many things that are... Yeah. Speaking of Go Ranger, one of the other things, in SPD, in the episode Walls, you actually see a picture of the Go Ranger team on Sky, in Sky's bedroom. And then they do a close-up, and that picture suddenly changes to his dad and him.
Ooh.
Still, Go Ranger was shown in that episode.
Yeah.
Maybe it's one of those, like, cycling picture frames, and he has a bunch of different pictures loaded into it.
That could be.
Maybe his grandfather was Aqua Ranger.
Well, technically speaking, from a historical standpoint, it'd have to be, like, his great-great-grandfather, but I digress.
True.
But even then, we have Go Ranger. SPD used spacesuits for A-Squad. They used the Time Force suits for an early SPD season. And did people go nuts? Well, yeah, they kind of went nuts.
Yeah, they went nuts.
But over time, it's just become accepted. People have accepted their theories that, oh, well, maybe Time Force and, you know, the Silver Guardians, they were able to form an early SPD, which is what we saw when Kat was doing SPD 2001. There are people who have already made theories, and as a consensus, a lot of the fans have just accepted it. And I think that's what's going to happen with these blitzing new powers. I just think over time people are just going to accept it because that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of fan fiction. No offense to anybody that writes it. But it's just fans have done this for how many years? Filled in the little gaps created by shows. They've put everything together. Even when we thought, oh, Ninja Storm is completely different, everybody retconned it into continuity even before the Dino Thunder team up. So it's there.
Yeah, it's there. We got the whole powers never seen before on this planet. And AP, you brought a good point in the show notes. Are these all Alien Rangers or are the Earth Power Rangers the aliens? Dun, dun, dun.
Well, when Gia transformed into the Black Alien Ranger, she said Alien Ranger, not Aquitian Ranger.
That's true.
But they were known as the Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers.
That's also true.
In the show. She even said in space. They weren't in space Rangers. They never said in space, red. They
were the Astro Rangers or the Space Rangers.
Exactly. Yeah, this whole show, even its own continuity is screwed up sometimes. Speaking of which, with the double disc, this is another thing I wanted to bring up. I thought that was only a one-time use, or was I thinking of the ceiling symbol disc from Samurai?
I want to say it was the ceiling symbol that was the one-time use.
Yeah, and the hard part is about this, I'm trying to remember if I'm thinking of Samurai or Shinkenger. So,
But, yeah, and, you know, he used the double disc, and in the flashback, obviously, it flashed back to Samurai Forever, the last episode of Power Rangers Super Samurai, when Jaden used the dual fire smashers to destroy Zandred. But isn't the power of the double disc, why didn't Troy have two fire smashers?
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Now, that was an editing mistake.
Yeah, because it's like, well, the power of that disc is to double your power, to double the weapons. Noah used it and got two swords. So Why didn't he get two fire smashers? I don't know.
But I believe that Marvelous and Gokaiger, I believe that he had two Recodizanto in that, so I'd have to go back and watch, but...
Well, Troy is already double powerful from everyone else, so...
Right.
The disc just didn't even matter.
Hey, really random here.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that's disappointed that Gia didn't say Star Slinger when she was in Yellow Space Ranger. Gia didn't say Star Slinger. Troy didn't get to say Power Sword.
Power Sword. I was waiting for that. Everyone else was doing it. I was just waiting for Troy to go Power Sword. They don't always have to call it their weapons. Gia didn't say Terra Grips when she bursted those out.
That's what I live on, though, to test the chops of the writers, though. Because I was waiting in the Mighty Morphin scene. I was waiting for Mighty Mace, Cosmic Cannon, all those.
I have to give them credit. They've been doing a really good job of doing the right attack names and weapon names and all that stuff. They've been doing a really good job of that.
And I want to bring up, too, the thing I mentioned after the first episode aired is how I was sad at the inconsistency of calling out the actual morph call, but it seems to be that they're actually doing it, and that maybe that second half of the first episode was just a fluke.
Yeah, that's why I think it was, because later on they did the SPD emergency. They did, and for Power Rangers, they did Mighty Morphin. They did It's Morphin Time.
Yeah.
Even though it's redundant because they do that for Megaforce.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that they are actually, you know, they said go galactic for the Lost Galaxy powers.
Yes, I
thank you.
I was like, yes. I think I fist pumped. I was like, yeah, go galactic.
All right.
I just can't wait till they the Lightspeed Rescue. And then it's Lightspeed Rescue again. What?
Now it seems like they only say that though when they're morphing as a team. They don't necessarily say it individually. Is that true?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they adapt that episode where they do the whole team change then.
Oh,
just to hear what they do.
I kind of hope it's original footage with Orion becoming Titanium Ranger. But
if they do that, then we can finally get more pictures of Titanium Ranger than what everyone has been using for, like, the artwork and the cards and the Morphin Madness. It's the same picture.
There's, like, two whole pictures of Titanium Ranger.
Yeah, but
remember, it might be Titanium Banger now.
What? Oh, yeah, because the promo picture of the Titanium Ranger in the Legend War had only the mouthpiece and not the actual visor. Okay. So, yeah, he
does kind of look like Bane. Oh, Power Rangers.
It's the helmet from his morphing sequence.
Yeah, it is.
Ryan's morphing sequence.
I really hope in post they digitally put a visor on that, because that looks retarded.
I have bothered Carol Petrie on Twitter to fix Tommy's helmet and to fix the Titanium Rangers helmet.
Oh, you mean no silver stripe on...
Right, exactly.
That's the dumbest thing to complain about, though.
Yeah, I don't mind the silver stripe. It's fine. Who cares? It adds a little bit more distinction.
I just want to know why Tommy suddenly has the Green Ranger powers back.
Yep.
Oh, right, because JDF.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Green Ranger. Yeah, buddy.
I thought I was done with this, but yeah.
You sound like you're constipated.
That's how I imagine JDF. Every time he says it, just yeah, buddy. Well, he's just...
Is that what he says when he's like, you know?
I don't know.
Wow. Okay. Woo. Moving on. Another theory that was brought up by Morphin K on Twitter. He basically says this is just Saban's hidden quit it method. Lazy editing, adapting, whatever, not giving a crap. So...
I don't think so. I agree with what you said earlier, Eric, that there's some kind of ulterior motives as to why certain Sentais may be adapted as opposed to others. And again, I hope it's just for the idea of that there are other teams out there that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are Ninja Turtles fans at all.
Oh, yeah.
But I kind of, at the very beginning, when I thought that they might reference the Sentai teams or show them in some way, I thought it might be like at the end or somewhere in the middle of the series, they might go into Ranger Prime, like Turtle Prime in that crossover movie with the 80s and 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be an interesting concept.
Yeah, they might show the other teams. I thought they would do that just as kind of a nod, but no, they're going full force, so more power to you.
I just think it's way too obvious for it to just be hit it and quit it method.
I think that's what it is. Because if a fan can take that footage and cut it out easily and make a seamless transition, we know that people who put the show together are professionals. They could have easily cut out that Sentai footage.
Exactly. Right.
I've been trying to hit up Jason Smith on Twitter or some of the other Rangers to see what like their ADR note said or what they're used for code names to refer to these Rangers. Like if it said yellow mask.
I really don't think we're going to get that. No. It's going to be just yellow colored Ranger here.
Yeah.
The Rangers themselves, though, must be curious. They know about Sentai, obviously, but they must be curious why these guys are included, don't you think?
I'm pretty sure the actors are kind of like a what? We've heard them in interviews say that, you know, they grew up with Mighty Morphin and all that stuff. But then we've got actors like Jason Smith, who wrote this episode, who know about Sentai. He tweeted a week ago about Imagination with the whole Tokuger thing.
That's hilarious.
He is a huge Sentai fan.
I've got to follow him on Twitter.
He said that he wants a Gabu revolver. The guy knows Sentai. That's just why I'm thinking there's a bigger plan. If one of the writers knows Sentai and knows what all this is, and they show up in the episode that he wrote, there's something there.
Right. I'm blanking on the actor's name, but he played Mac in Operation Overdrive.
James McClurion.
So there's pictures of him when they were filming in...
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Japan, yeah. Remember? And they met with the actors who were doing Goanger at the time.
I remember that, yeah.
Like, and everyone was like...
They brought the old Bokenger helmet out.
Right, and everyone was like, holy crap, it's Power Ranger actors, but they're meeting with... Are we going to get a Power Ranger Sentai crossover? And everyone's losing their minds. And I was like, that'd be nice, but no, we're not getting such a thing ever. I think the actors, of course, have that knowledge, and I wonder if the production staff... Obviously, again, the show isn't really aimed at us, it's aimed at kids.
Right.
And kids don't really know that there's all this history behind the Sentai. That...
Then again, this season is supposed to be a nod to current fans, or longtime fans.
True, and I mean, that's fair in the sense that they are referencing the Americanized. I don't know if they realize, maybe they do, maybe I'm completely off base, just how many of the fans know the Sentai stuff. I'm sure some fans out there who don't know thing one about Sentai.
Right.
I mean, they know it exists, but they don't know the logistics of it or what have you.
But then look at us. Look at our generation who grew up with Mighty Morphin from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We know Sentai at this point. It's like, if you have internet, you can Google Japanese Power Rangers and boom, you're right. Exposed to this world.
Exactly.
Even kids today, I mean, my brother knows about Sentai. He's watched all of Kyuruger and he's into Kamen Rider, and he grew up with SPD. SPD was his first series.
Your brother has good taste.
Yes, he does.
Is that partly due to your...
Clearly, he doesn't get it from...
Yeah, there was some influence from me, but he started watching Kamen Rider all on his own. And he was the one that got me into Gaim, because I was like, fruit-based writer? That's dumb.
Dude, everybody had that reaction, and then it turned out so good!
Well, yeah, this isn't a Gaim podcast, but I went there, it was last Thanksgiving. He said, well, have you watched Gaim yet? I'm like, no, that looks so dumb. No, you have to watch one or two episodes. I did, instantly hooked. I think I watched the 6 episodes that were released up until that point.
Maybe when I get back to Japan, we can have a special Japan episode where we talk about Kamen Rider and Super Sentai.
If you have some amazing Sentai, or if you go to the Toei Museum or do whatever...
Oh, God, I would love to, but I'm going to Okinawa and none of that stuff is even remotely nearby.
Yeah, but everything's accessible by train. By bullet train.
Really? Even Okinawa?
I think so.
Okinawa is like the southernmost island.
There's trains on islands. That...
I just have to have the imagination. Imagination!
Yeah, if anyone's following my Twitter, I pretty much said every time someone complains about Sentai and Power Rangers, I'm just going to do that picture. It's that little anime train conductor guy. Final thoughts on this whole Sentai debate. What do you guys think?
I love it.
I just don't care. I don't care. I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm agreeing with Chris. I love the inclusion of the Sentai teams, and I hope that even if we don't get an official canon explanation, it would be nice to see some of the theories that fans come up with.
I'm going to play the wait and see card. I think maybe they have a plan with these guys. I'll say this. If the only Sentai teams they show are the ones from Tommy's files, if they go through that process and only have those changes, then I will say there's the plan. They want to reference all the way back to Bully for Ethan. Boom, we've got it. They're past Ranger teams. Tommy knew about them. They exist somewhere in the universe. And I'll be happy with that.
Here's a good question I just thought of. Do you think that Saban, in their vast props and costumes that they gathered, do you think they have any Sentai suits?
All I know is what they got from Japan. Because in Gokaiger recreated all of the old Sentai suits because the originals were just obviously destroyed or whatever. Gokaiger had to create every single Sentai suit from scratch for that big battle. So who knows?
That's why the Kamen Rider movie features Super Sentai.
Exactly, because they want to get their money's worth.
They want to get as much out of those suits as they can.
So I don't know if they sent to New Zealand, if they only sent the Power Ranger teams or if they sent all of them.
That would be an interesting question to ask somebody in charge.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We've seen so far are just the Power Ranger ones, but...
Right, because there have been behind-the-scenes pictures with the suits and the big helmet, like all the helmets on the table kind of a thing, and all of those were Power Rangers, so who knows. And maybe the reason they had to edit the live man footage was because they didn't have the suit to do anything original with it. And maybe that's why Noah, when they all came together, he was just in his regular Megaforce suit. Maybe I'm nitpicking it too much.
I honestly hope that we get Jacka and Battle Fever J suits in here, because I know that it will just trip people off even more than they are right now. And just, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm just going to play the wait-and-see card. I think it's too early to tell what they're going to do. The Orion introduction is a two-part episode. Maybe he'll explain, because we don't know anything about him yet. All we know that he's an alien from another planet, so who knows? Maybe he's like, hey guys, I'm whatever. I completely lost my train of thought.
His parents might have just been hippies and named him after stars.
That could be it too. But I thought it was confirmed that he was an alien.
I think that was in maybe the casting. Although
I do like the hippie parents. Oh man, trippy Orion.
They all think that he's an alien, but he's like, no, my parents were just stoned.
Is that why he has the long hair in that one picture that was released of him?
If you look at that picture, though, his clothes are all torn up. And then if you look at another picture of, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, he's got short hair and nice clothes. So what the hell's happening there?
Maybe he crash-landed from another planet.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
He crash-landed, and now the time ship's broken, and he can't... Oh, wait.
I think we're going to find out towards the end of the season, and we'll know. And it is what it is at this point. I don't think it's anything to get super mega worked up over.
Dollar in a jar.
Somebody's got to compliment Orion on his belt, though, I got to say.
Oh, boo.
What?
Orion's belt.
Oh, God. Oh. Chris. Oh. That one went right over my head. I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh.
The minute it sinks in.
But when this episode releases, we will have our second tribute episode in a row. The episode where Jason Smith actually returns as his character, Casey, from Jungle Fury.
I'm excited.
I'm super mega excited.
Oh, jar.
It'll be interesting, though. He actually didn't write this episode, so it may
he
be.
Didn't?
No.
Yeah, I'm,
I thought
I'm,
he did.
It was, I guess, erroneously reported.
Oh.
I would have loved to if he wrote his own cameo episode, because then all the references would be there, but we'll see.
Like, I'm sure he had some sort of sway where he was like, oh, Casey wouldn't say this. He'd say it like this.
I hope so.
I don't want any trouble.
All right. Now we're going to move on to Ranger Nation answers. We had two questions this week. Take it away, Zach.
Right. This week's Ranger Nation answers part one, we asked, what are your thoughts on Morphin Madness? Both good and bad. So let's start by going around the table. Eric, what did you think about Morphin Madness?
Honestly, I think not enough Rangers. All they had to do was add one more bracket, and we could have had every single Ranger ever.
Yeah.
I think they could have extended it one more week, and we could have had a true battle royale between every single Ranger. Easy. That's all they had to do.
Yeah, really.
Or just not.
It was just 40 more Rangers from the 119 or whatever, 126 it is now. That's all they had to do. They just had to add one more bracket and be done with it.
Or not include Rangers that already have keys.
Or that.
Yeah, AP, expanding on what you just said, yeah, I don't think it's smart that they have Rangers that already have keys.
Are they intending this to be just a cool thing to win the contest, Or are they going to do it a true Battle Royale style? If this was just true Battle Royale style, then have all the Rangers. But if this is intended to have for keys to be produced based on that, then they shouldn't have included Rangers that already had keys.
Yeah. You guys want to know what I think?
Sure.
I think it's a huge waste of time. I really don't think it's going to affect anything that's made or not made. I think it's just going to be like, okay, well, this happened and that happened, but oh, we weren't able to make that key for this reason and that reason, but here's another Red Ranger key.
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate prize is a special key pack for one person that has the five chosen winners. Mm-hmm. So it's not like everyone's getting this key pack.
Why would they bother making those keys just for one person, though?
Right, right.
Like, let's...
And that's the thing. That's what leads me to believe that the 80 Rangers that are included are the only ones actually getting keys made. So even the voting for Titanium Ranger and Udana might not matter, because in the end, we might get those anyway, whether it be con exclusives or whatever.
Because if you think about it, the Udana key, that would require a whole new sculpt. You can't just easily like repaint that. Like maybe the Titanium Ranger key, you could probably easily repaint like the Red Ranger key, but
so I think the 80 that they included are the 80 that they've already have molds for and that are already producing in some form or fashion, whether it be a future set or whatever. And I think the contest is moot because in the end, the five Rangers that are chosen are going to be in that special key pack for the Gold Morpher.
So that means we're going to get Titanium Ranger and Phantom Ranger original keys after all, then.
That's what I'm guessing. And that they might be in an exclusive Six Ranger pack or something at Power Morphicon or San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con, because that's what they said at Toy Fair. They said, we have exclusives coming. You know, we have more on the way. It's still March. We have a whole 9 months before we move on to Dino Charge. I still think that there's hope for these keys.
Mm-hmm. And where the heck are the Spirit Ranger keys, huh? Huh? Huh?
I know. I'm feeling you.
There are a ton of keys that should be made, but unfortunately, for whatever reason, aren't going to be made. And it's sad, really. The whole history of Power Rangers, and these are the select few that you deem worthy of being made into keys. BS, in my opinion.
Well, let's move on to what other people had to say.
Razzle Dazzle, at Razzle1337, says, aside from the people complaining about sexism and lack of keys, I think it is an amazing ongoing event. Being able to re-vote each day and updating the lineups each week is a fantastic way to get the fans involved in an event. Bandai has actually done more fan toy involvement with Morphin Madness than Saban has done since 2011 with the show.
Now that part I can agree on, that, that Bandai is doing more. Because since when was the last time we had a contest like this from Bandai or Saban?
I can't remember.
I think it's awesome. It definitely gets everyone talking because people have been talking nonstop about this Morphin Madness for good or bad reasons.
It's true. For good or for worse, it is always being talked about.
They've succeeded in terms of a promotional event because it has people talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Cox, at RyanCox20, says, it's a good idea, at least they are trying, unlike Saban. I think it's a little harsh, isn't it?
Maybe a little bit.
Next up, Jeffrey Hunter, at It's Jeff Wee. As a simple, interactive promotional event for the keys and the anniversary, I like Morphin Madness. It's definitely working. But as a full-blown Ranger versus Ranger anniversary tournament, it needs more work and Rangers, both male and female. I gotta agree with that.
Amen.
Yeah, that's... It's true. This is not something that should be celebrated as a anniversary event. This is something that's a good promotional tie-in.
Mix it up a little bit. I don't need two Black Rangers or two Green Rangers. Just do it completely random. Like Kimberly versus Tizon, or because it seemed like from all the brackets, they're themed. I mean, you get two Silver Rangers battling it out.
Right.
That kind of a thing. I think it needs more work.
Agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly. Alexandra at YellowXL says, the concept is pretty cool. I think it's an awesome idea. I just wish there were less Rangers who already had a key. Still can't believe people prefer to have two in-space Blue Ranger key than a Navy Ranger key, and people complain about the lack of girl keys, but vote for the Mercury Ranger instead of RPM Silver.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Seriously, that's some weird...
Yeah, who knows?
Matthew Rhodes, at Admiral Blue 5, says, I think it's an awesome idea. I've been loving it so far. Hashtag Morphin Madness. I don't know if I agree with that, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's getting people talking. Personally, I like the interactive animations. There's something satisfying when you pick a ranger and it says... Yeah,
the voices.
This person has won.
The voice is surprisingly...
Yeah, and the other one explodes. Yeah, that's sad.
Brian Dagley, at Shuken Shinobi, says, a fun idea ruined by the fandom's constant complaining of sexism and voting for ranger keys. Now it's just annoying.
I'm a little bit annoyed by it now, all the tweets regarding it.
Some of the people lobbying for rangers have a valid point. I know I started on Twitter with a always say no to Tommy hashtag.
And what happened? Every single one of his ranger forms is in the next bracket.
No, it's a terrible crime.
It's going to be a Tommy pack.
If they could get away with doing an all Tommy pack, they would.
It's going to be a Tommy pack with JDF at San Diego Comic Con going, yeah, putty, and signing his exclusive packs.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
On a slightly related note, I would be surprised if they didn't do an all Tommy change in the season.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
That would actually be cool. I actually wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
I have a feeling they might do that in the last episode, just to do a whole, hey, because if Tommy's leading the charge in that final episode, I think they might do something like that, where they all change into his forms.
I have said many times my feelings on Tommy, and I just...
It would still be cool to see. I can't explain it.
I like the aesthetics of all his suits that he's had. I just cannot stand the character. Yeah, moving on. Jeff Moses, at Kyaryu Hiroken, says... Totally agree. I voted for the ranger I liked out of the two. If I was on both, went season. So assuming he said he went with his favorite season.
Right.
Next up, Jeff Blackwood at JeffyB935 says, it's a good system, but my gripe is that the coupons are only valid in the U.S. Sucks for us Canadian fans. I did not know that. That does suck.
AP, we need a groan of indifference.
Wow, that one scared my cat.
Oh my god.
So you have a scaredy cat?
Moving
on.
Moving on. The Monkey Grid at Monkey Ranger says, I wish they would have randomized the matchups rather than them be by a certain category standard. Way too unbalanced. Agreed. Toku Nation at Toku Nation, friends of the podcast, say, a great concept of fun that's been overshadowed by this whole sexism issue.
Well, it wouldn't be an issue if they included every single key.
Yeah.
Every single ranger. Then it wouldn't be an issue.
RJ Sills, Uchi Habro 77 at Anime Redneck 96, great Twitter handle, says, it seemed like a good idea, but too much has gone wrong with it.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Chris Carpenter at Psych Megafan. Psych is an awesome show, if that's what you're referring to.
It is, because his profile picture is the two guys from Psych.
Oh, fantastic. You're already awesome. Kind of pissed at Morphin Madness, because if these are for keys, we'd get multiple regular male keys. We want female and sixth ranger keys. At Morphin_K says, Morphin Madness is madness. Mm-hmm. I was going to go for the 300 joke there, but I decided against it.
I'm just thinking of the little dog that Invader Zim sees every time, and he yells, Madness!
The Monkey Grid, again, at Monkey Ranger, says, I'm under the impression that Morphin Madness is rigged in some way, shape, or form. That's just my two cents.
Mm-hmm.
Because we saw some early or late flip-flops, like from round one to round two, there was a lot. There was too many close calls in that last day.
Come on, okay? Because isn't Lucas up against Jason this round or something?
Totally unbalanced.
It's obvious that they want certain rangers to win.
It's questionable at best.
too close to call. Jason wins Florida.
You know what I want?
By
I want,
a hanging Ranger key.
I want a picture of Jason holding up a newspaper that says Lucas defeats Jason. There's an old school history joke for you kids.
Yep.
Oh, man.
The Strange Music Box at Scott Finney says, I'm iffy on how Morphin Madness has been approached. Samurai Surprise was great, though.
Agreed. Oh, I didn't split that comment up.
That's fine.
Good segue.
Yeah, it is a good segue.
It's a fantastic segue.
Our second Ranger Nation Answers question was, what did you think of the episode Samurai Surprise? First off, we got Ranger Crew, friends of the podcast at Ranger Crew. They said, appropriate tribute episode with cameos, flashbacks, past dialogue, which we didn't touch upon, and past references.
The past dialogue
was when Jaden said, analyze your opponent, when he was in the Froyo shop. That was the same exact line he said in the Team Unites to Mike. That was his exact line, word for word, to Mike.
Interesting.
At Anime Redneck again. He said, pretty good. Glad we actually had a full tribute. I don't even mind the Sentai suits. Scott Sandler at DigiRanger 1994. Great guy who wrote our Ninja Storm lyrics and has already wrote our SPD lyrics. So.
Oh, my.
Ooh. He said, beautiful episode. Lived up to its name with well-utilized cameos, humor, and power usage. He said, Doug Sloan and Greg Aronowitz save the episode because Bully for Ethan and Walls basically plant the seeds allowing pre-Jew teams.
That's an interesting point. Like we said earlier, there is precedent for this.
It's going to change if they use a Sentai team that's not in Tommy's files. But until that happens, that's what I'm going with. PR Unreleased Music at PR Unreleased said, I think it raised the bar for this season. I hope they keep it up because I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Yep, just keep going how they're going. Stay committed to it and just keep going.
Talkin' Toku podcast at Talkin' Toku said, it was blitzing.
Yeah.
Blitzing new powers.
Throne of indifference.
B2 Fujita at Zio Blue 3. It's my second best next to the premiere episode. Very well written. Jason Smith did a wonderful job.
I agree with that.
Me too. Mark at Das Nordlich 91 said, plus we still have our silver friend coming who may shed some light on said teams.
Ah, that's where I read that. That's where you read that.
Mighty Jez at Mighty Jez says, didn't like the Sentai suits, but so much good. I love Wimpy V-Car and think Troy and Noah continued to develop. Great episode.
Yeah. Prince V-Car being kind of a prissy, wimpy, yeah, that was perfect.
It reminds me of some of the more incompetent villains that we've had in the past.
Exactly. A lot of people don't like him for that, but he reminds me of Rita in a way, and then Norg maybe in some ways.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that early Saban villain humor. Even the Machine Empire, those guys, they were still kind of slapsticky funny.
Yeah.
Had some good one-liners. His whole one-liner, like, oh, Super Mega, get them already. That, hands down, he's more awesome. Continuing on, Mecha Ranger at Ranger of Mecha said, really good, even with the unexplained Sentai. The cameos were really cool. Hope the next episodes are good, too. I think we all hope for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
At Scott Finney said, I loved it. This season's been going really well. The unexpected cameo of G was icing on the cake, really. And that was the thing. This was something that no one from Ranger Nation knew. No one knew spoilers or anything that G would be making an appearance in this.
Yeah, I actually went back and looked at that leak photo in front of the supermarket, and I tried to see if I could see G's motorcycle in front there, and you can't. So.
Yeah, so I think because of that, I think we can expect more surprises this season.
Exactly.
I sure hope so.
I hope so.
Especially if now Saban is trying to scoop their own news before the fans, like with the whole Dino Charge thing. I think they're keeping things a lot closer to the chest and not letting everything get leaked. I think because of G, that's a sign that we're going to get more than we're expecting. At least I hope so. Moving on, Raz said, I love their cockpit splicing of 6+ Gokaiger episodes. So I guess he looked through the footage and found out that all the different Megazord cockpit footage from this episode was taken from 6 different episodes. And if that's the case, then that, to me, nullifies the editing argument that they're bad at editing, because that means that they're picking the footage that works for their story. Psych Megafan said, to comment on Samurai Surprise, Troll Say strikes again, and enjoyed seeing Jaden not be himself and G being G. I don't know what Jaden not being himself is about.
Well, because he rides a motorcycle now, you know.
But he rode a motorcycle the last episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, what was that about?
It was him and G doing what they were doing at the last episode.
Exactly.
What's up, G?
Oh my gosh.
He's awesome.
Oh my gosh. What? Maybe Jaden knew that these guys were going to be the Megaforce Rangers, and he took off to go watch them.
Well, that's the thing. His line saying, we've been watching you. Who's we? Is it, oh, me and G have been watching you like creepers? Or it's like, every ranger is watching you. Dun, dun, dun.
That would be awesome.
And I think that's what they might be leading up to with the last episode.
Well, we'll find out next episode with Casey if he says anything like, yeah, we know who you are, or we've been watching you.
Then I'm going to be, oh my God, oh my God! going through these last comments, Glenn Santiago at Age of Glenn said, I think people are complaining too much about Mask and Flash to focus on the actual episode, just like with episode 2. Friend of the podcast, George Hansen Jr. at Silurian Ranger said, Samurai Surprise, be it though there was some laziness, it opened this universe farther than ever. It also had great character moments. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Raz again said, SPD and the existence of Sentinel Knight opened the PR universe more than anything else. And I think what he's getting at is, he's right, SPD opened and expanded the universe, and with Overdrive, you had Sentinel Knight, who had godlike powers, was able to restore past Ranger powers. So I think what he's trying to get at is that these Sentai suits are continuing that tradition of expanding the universe.
God, I just thought of something. Sentinel Knight is going to lose his power, and they're going to be able to transform into Sentinel Knight. That seems weird to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, and who knows if they're even going to use that, but yeah. There's some interesting possibilities there. And then finally, Jeff Moses again at Kiryu Hiroken. I thought it was an enjoyable episode. Whatever about the two new powers, love G and Jaden cameo more than one scene also. They were throughout the episode. I didn't even know G would be there, but it makes sense since Jaden still lives at the Samurai Dojo. Any final parting thoughts on Samurai Surprise before we close out the episode?
I hope we get more like it.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun watching it. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Or send a carrier. Or send a carrier pigeon.
Yeah, even though they're extinct. Ad lib by AP
forever trolling.
Oh, AP.
AP.
Troll say.
AP is troll say.
AP.
Next time I won't talk at all. I'll just write notes.
You've been listening to the Ranger Command Power Hour, only on the Four Eyed Radio Network. You can catch a new episode every other Saturday. Find us on the Morphing Grid at www.rangercommand.com. Follow us on Twitter at RangerCommandPH and like us on Facebook.com/RangerCommandPowerHour.
Hey, this is Steve from the 12A podcast, where we've got movies and entertainment for you. If you want to learn how to get to second base for a dollar, check us out on the Four Eyed Radio Network at foureyedradio.com.